Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Seek ye first the Be seated this morning. We're going to go into Word here this morning. We're going to trust the Lord to speak to us this morning. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be in the house of the living God. Amen. The living God. Amen. the house of the living God. Little brother asked the other day or something about, you know, where is this place, you know, that the Lord went off to establish, you know, to prepare this house, you know. Where is this place at? What was he went for preparation? You know, he went to Calvary, brother, to prepare this right here that he could live and dwell in it. Amen. There was your preparation. It was all done right there at Calvary and everything was finished there. And he made a preparation that he could come and live and dwell in this man right here and in you. Amen. The Bible said the same Spirit in Christ that dwells within Christ Jesus, the same Spirit shall dwell in your mortal body. In your mortal body. In your mortal body. In your mortal body. And you say, well, my body's no longer mortal. Right now you're walking in a mortal body because people could see the mortal. Amen. But one day, in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, you'll wit the redemption. It's already redeemed, but you will witness it. And that mortal part will be transfigured and changed. And then it's immortal. Amen. Changed in a moment, my friend. When they saw the Lord Jesus come in this transfigured man flesh, they saw him, but he had the ability to go into either dimension. Amen. He said, touch of me, feel of me. And they did. Amen. But we saw a mix of both of them. But it wasn't a mix with the tainted, corruptible mortal. It was transfigured. It was changed to immortal. It was changed to not corruptible, no longer incorruptible. So there's some things that take place. And so oftentimes, brethren, we walk in things that we really don't. I mean, we touch on things here and there. You've heard me ministering over the months about the counterfeits. We all have them. You know, we all have them. Sometimes, you know, look, before we get into, say, doctrine, but let's talk about counterfeit stuff, you know, for make sure we're on the same page. Sometimes we think, well, I know what counterfeit money is. You know, I know what something it isn't real is. But sometimes you go, hey, brother, how you doing? God bless you. I love you, man. And that's counterfeit. You say, well, that's Christ-like. You know, I'm expressing love. You know, but then yet, yes, there's some fine differentiation lines in some of this. The thing is, yeah, we should be able to know how to be kind to an enemy. Okay, and I'm not going to call that counterfeit. That's the manifestation of Christ's love. But sometimes they spy out your liberties, as the Bible says, and they're, you know, they're looking for gain of themselves. And sometimes they could come with a form of godliness, but denying the power. And that could be considered a counterfeit. When we say something is, you know, or hypocrisy or something of such, it manifests in the natural realms, it manifests in the physical realms, and it manifests in the spiritual realms. The Bible talks about spiritual wickednesses, you know. And you say, well, how would it manifest in a physical realm? Well, you could take a hog and put a girdle on him and put your foot back there and pull that thing tight. You got a counterfeit, man. That was, you know, so dude. So, you know, it manifested every realm. So I'm sorry to use crude things, but you know, Bruce Jenner's a counterfeit woman. Would you say that? Yeah. How's that one? That's better than the hog one, ain't it? And I'd say he's a counterfeit. He ain't no woman. He ain't no lady. You might try to make him look like one, put some long hair on him, paint up the lips a little bit, and that ain't what makes a lady anyway. But that's nothing but a perversion, and a filthy perversion at that. Amen. So, brethren, you know, the thing is we've got to, as I say in the expression, I said I've been going over months trying to, you know, talk about things. And in the Pentecostal realms, you know, it's like, well, we go to church, man, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And we shout and run and wear our voice out screaming and yelling. And we leave dry. We leave dead. We leave weak. We leave not changed. You know, oh man, we had an awesome service last night. You know how many of those awesome services I've been into? As a minister, I've been into hundreds of them. But what we're looking for is the fruit of what awesome service is. And it's a change. It's a change of life. Let me read a scripture right here to you, and maybe the Lord allows to maybe expound on this. And I'm not sure exactly where we're going to go from here, but right here, I'm in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 20th verse. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but his word is forever, my friend. But in power. I've spoke about it. wrote a track here within the last year or two, and I think it's entitled Knowledge Versus Salvation. And I found that we use a knowledge. You know, the Bible, there's a scripture, and I paraphrase and I butcher things up, but it talks about using another man's admiration. And, you know, we could say, well, you know, Brother George said this, Brother Branham said this, Brother Billy Sunday said this, Brother Billy Graham said this, Brother whoever. You know, and man, we could have these quotes. You know, I could come up here and I could make a presentation of one of the most awesome dietitians, maybe we could say, and, you know, about nutrition, and I could make a presentation and be nothing but a fat, obese hog on my way to hell. Should have put a knife to my throat. But I could tell you the ups and the downs and what you should and what you do. But what good is it without power, without demonstration? Amen? I could talk about the love of God, but if I can't demonstrate it, it's dead and void. You understand that? And this is what has taken place, brethren, is we've replaced the demonstration and the power of God's word. We've replaced it, amen, with just a word, a lip service, and without a demonstration. You know, I've come to a place in my walk with the Lord that I don't want to hear a man's revelations. I don't want to hear him talking about the great men of God and their exploits when I don't see any vindication in their own life. It's like you've taken this thing and it's what you've used to climb up another way. And the intellectual concepts and quotes. And this is, you know, I'm not speaking about just in our brotherhood and this revelational doctrine. It's been really hurt. If I want to go to my founder, Brother Pike, and talk about the brotherhood and the people that come out of Little Bethlehem, yes, it's been trampled so terribly bad. I stand here with my hand in repentance. It has been trampled so bad what Brother Pike had laid down, and we've just turned it into quotes. You know, and we speak about it, but where is the demonstration? Brethren, we are the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what Brother Pike taught, the manifestation. Not just some word service, the manifestation. And, you know, people think that the thing that drawed people to Brother George was this great intellectual wisdom of speaking. Yes, he saw things and spoke of things, was so deep and far beyond my understandings, my friend. Amen. But that's not what drawed people. It was the love that the brother had for people and humanity, and the love for the word, and the love for winning souls, the love for evangelism, love for missionary work, and the love to help the people that nobody else wanted to help. Amen. And the thing is when you have a benevolent ministry of love, there's going to be people of all forms and all walks of life. They're going to come in among you. They're going to walk with you. Some are for the loaves and the fishes. Other ones are there to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. And there was many that came, and they were spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity that they brought a reproach. Some have gone out and started ministries and many different things, and they want to use him as some kind of a founding father or foundation, and they've absolutely just marred and muddled up things in such a bad way. And they say, well, do you speak out of your that you're the one, or you're the man? I feel so small, and I'm not speaking about me at all. I'm analyzing, my friend, and telling you the things that have caused people to fall and fall away because they've left the foundations of what the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is. The foundations have been departed and left. Amen. You say, well, that's a broad statement. You know, one man rebuked me and said, I paint with a wide, broad brush. He wanted to see some defining, a little more defining. Well, sometimes we do things with a wide, broad brush for an aspect because it's got to come to you by revelation or by the mind of Christ speaking to you, unveiling to you, and showing you. Otherwise, it's just going to be another intellectual little notch in a belt for you to just feel like you're walking in the place and the counsel of God. Back to the scripture now. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. A couple other scriptures that parallel along with says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. This is 1 Corinthians 2:4. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I've spoken on these things, brothers and sisters, because it's been in my spirit, because I see this is the fall of mankind and humanity and the religious order. So, you say, well, you're repetitive, Brother Rob. You've spoke on this. So I'm going to continue on it until it becomes a revelation in your heart. And then you could, when it becomes a revelation and you could see that many times we're trying to climb up through knowledge. And the Bible says you die like men from a lack of knowledge. So there is a knowledge that we have, but the knowledge that most of us have gained is the knowledge that puffeth us up. And there's a difference between the knowledge from the Spirit. There's a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Those are by the Spirit and the same Spirit. The word of knowledge that comes by the Spirit of God doesn't puff you up. It does lift you up, but it doesn't puff you up. Amen? And there's a most definite difference. And the thing is it will elevate you to a place, to a cross, that men can be drawn unto the kingdom of God. If you want to be lifted up, that's where you need to be lifted up to, is the same cross that Jesus was, that you could be crucified before the people of this world, that they could see that there's something in you to show the love, that you're willing to be crucified for his name's sake, amen. But when you kick and fight and struggle to death, amen, then you're just like every other man, and you're not bringing forth the attributes of a risen Savior into the earth. Now, again, it says that my speech and my preaching, 1 Corinthians 2:4, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now see, we got to see what's being said here. So there is enticing words of man's wisdom. Is that correct? Now see, a lot of times people cannot discern or differentiate the enticing words of man's wisdom. You see, man's wisdom is a light, but it's a lesser light to the light of God. Now you've heard me preach messages about the second heaven. Now, you got to remember, there's light in the second heaven and darkness. Now, see, people, they'll go to the scriptures that are applied to the third heaven, says that you cannot mix light and darkness. Well, you can't, because there's no darkness in the third heaven. That's where we can't mix light and darkness at. But brethren and sisters, right here in this world, right now, we could say it's light outside. But when that day star, sun starts to set, my friend, we're going to start seeing darkness come in. And in between that light of the noonday and that darkness of the midnight, there's a twilight. And you can't tell me that we're not mixing light and darkness. So we got to rightly differentiate or divide the word of God as a workman who need not be ashamed. And a lot of times I find people, they'll take a scripture and man, you feel it coming back at you. Well, you know, it just shows Brother Rob's in there. You know, I'm thinking, my goodness, what's wrong with you? You know, and people just love that if they can find fault with Brother Rob or make me have error, then they can feel like, well, I can go ahead and stay in my ball games, and I can go ahead and do this, and I can go ahead and do that. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't going to be one person in hell from a ball game. They're going to be in hell because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost people refrain from those kind of things because they see it grieves the Spirit of God. It's the way of the wide, broad path to destruction. I've had some ministers separate from me because of sports and ball games. You say, well, Brother Rob, you just need to love everybody. I do love everybody. I just think I love the ball games with them. And they don't like that. They get upset. You know, and then I'm self-righteous. You know, that's where they always go. Instead of thinking it could be the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, they want to make you self-righteous. Oh, you're better than them. I ain't no better than them. But I'm going to refrain from those things because of what's involved around those things. You know, I see people, I read the testimony of a mother, and they was in church, a church-going family. They were, and I'll share this again, why the Lord has, we got many people tuning in on the internet here. But this was a family that the husband and the wife both had positions in the church, working in the Sunday school departments and the ministries and different things. And they put their little boy in T-ball, and you say, oh, how sweet and how innocent. Okay, well, praise God. I don't think there's a thing wrong with a little boy playing T-ball. But sometimes we got to take a step back and look at the end of the matter. What did you put in their spirit? What did you put in their heart? And they said the kid got good at it. You know, and then pretty soon we had to start missing midweek services because the coach, the carnal-minded coach, is going to have practice on church night. Which I understand that because some churches worship on Tuesday night, some on Wednesday night, some on Thursday night. So they're going to have a ball practice. You know, so you just made a decision that the ball practice was more important than God. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. So this is where the first problem started. The innocent little T-ball, now they had to miss church services before the guy could be participant in the T-ball games. So now we start missing church. You know what happens when you start missing church? You're in violation to the word. Brings condemnation. Amen? Bible said not to forsake the assembly. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with missing a midweek service now and then. Well, that might be your downfall. You know, there might have been the word could have been meeting with you that day. And every time that you do that, you're telling you that your life is more preeminent than his and about being obedient to his word. You see, we want to reach people and we got to be obedient to his word to reach them. When we lose the obedience to the word, then we fail to be able to reach people because they're looking at you. Well, you don't do this and you don't do that. How can you say anything to me? So we got to try to remove those offenses out of our life that we could reach people. Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. That's what I'm training you, to be wisdom that you can win souls. So what we do is we start crossing T's and dotting I's and we start looking at these kind of things and we can get in a wilderness. But we still need to press our way into the things of God and into the kingdom of God. Now back to the story. So they start missing church. So then they're going to thanks. And then the kid got good. He progressed on into Little League. And then he started making all-star teams. And then he started, you know, they started even going out of town with him to play these all-star games and these different kind of things. And the whole family got out of church. Brings the downfall to the family. The boy gets a sports injury accident. And see, people say, I'm really reaching here. I'm really reaching. You know, you're like, well, you know, brother, you know, you're going to take this example. Yeah, I go to the extremes. I talk about sodomy and perversion and these Bruce Jenners. So you say you're taking the extreme. But what are those extremes? Is it one day Bruce was just, you know, being the Mr. Sportsman, you know, riding his decathlon, bicycling, all the things, whatever he'd done in the 70 Olympics? I remember when he was on the Wheaties box, huh? Would you put the faggot on there now? They probably would. But you know, where did it go? Did it start out from that to pow, presto, a stinking woman? No. There was a transformation of mind and the little allowances and things. So this is what happened, the T-ball story. You know, it kept going. Pretty soon they're out of church. The family lost out with God. And then the boy gets hurt. The doctors put him on drugs because of pain. He got some kind of sports. So when the doctor said, okay, you've been on it too long, he liked it. Hey, we know a lot of kids that like drugs. They didn't have no reason to get on them. They didn't have pain, but they liked it. The kid liked it. So when they took him off, he went and found it on the streets. And then he goes to prison. So a mother stands and says, my son's in prison because of T-ball. And you say, well, I don't agree with that. I do. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a hand. I'm in 100% agreement with it. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And the thing is, it's those little allowances. You say, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And when your daughter's a whore, nothing wrong with that. And then your son's a faggot, nothing wrong with that. That's what you're going to be doing. And you're going to take the responsibility because of the allowances that you made to depart from the faith and the doctrine that was set before us. Amen. Praise God. Now that's some good preaching there, if I got to say so myself. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. That was kind of like, that felt pretty good. No. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, speaking of counterfeit again, so in the Pentecostals, let's pick on them for a moment. We're going to spare the Baptists for a minute. No. We ain't going to spare nobody knowing Brother Rob. Amen. And not even myself. Amen. Say, God help me. Amen. So when we go into people have taken the demonstration of God's power and they say, well, we want the power of God. In your standard Pentecostal speech or talk, Trinitarian Pentecostals, Oneness Pentecostals, all the Pentecostals, to them, the power of God is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, stand in agreement with that. That is the power of God. He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Okay? So we're going to, as a Pentecostal preacher, whatever, we're going to say, hey, you must receive the power. Okay? Again, the Bible says, without his Spirit, you're none of his. What is his Spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. Right? Okay, we say the Holy Spirit. We say the Father, the Holy Spirit, invisible, no man has seen. And this invisible Spirit of God came and manifest in the Son of Man, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness, the Godhead bodily. There was your bodily manifestation of an invisible God that man cannot see, has not seen, invisible, omnipresent everywhere, can't be a person in that. Okay? So then this Spirit of God comes in the fullness in the person of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Word made flesh, walked among men to bring forth the attributes, the revelations, the understandings of this invisible God. And then when he fulfilled what he came here for, and he saw that man come to realize who he was and is to come, and when this revelation came forth, he said, I've completed my work here and I must go. Well, when he departed, he hung his head again, said it's finished, and the Spirit of the Father, amen, come out of him, but it had been personified in the flesh. That's where it would become a ghost, right there. When it came out, you see, it was the Spirit of the Father, but when it came out, now it's the ghost. And the thing that changed it from the Spirit to the ghost is it had been personified and recognized, and now it comes forth as the Holy Ghost. Now he said, the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus, which is the Spirit of the Father, shall dwell in us. And how has he come to us? As the Holy Ghost, because the attributes of Jesus will show forth in our life. And we can see the Spirit of the Father manifesting in us today. Okay? And so now the Spirit of the Father is now the Spirit. It's the same Spirit. The Bible said, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. So the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are one and the same. But there's a difference between them through a chronological aspect, because there was an order that came in time. And man is a timely thing in the time dimension. So this timely aspect that came involved there in this is where the one with no time and no night, you understand that? No beginning, no end, came into a dimension of time, of a dimension in the flesh and a dimension of mortal man, okay? And he came into this thing, and when he comes forth back out, he goes back in. Brother George used to talk about the two candlesticks, Moses and Elijah. He talked often about the 7 years that had come from the 490 and the 483 up to Calvary, and the seven got to come back in. And this gap in between that time is the church ages, you know, or we use terms like that, church ages, but the Bible talks about these churches. Well, there's a dispensational perspective of time of grace, amen? And when the blood goes off the mercy seat, the dispensation of grace coming to a close or to an end, and we're right at the threshold of that, and it goes back to the reconciliation to the Jew, when the Jews step back in and come in. Now, give me just a few moments this morning. I would like to go on. We're talking about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Again, as I used the word for a collection of a thought, just counterfeit. Something counterfeit is something that would look like what's real. The Bible talks about similar spirits and familiar spirits. A familiar spirit is something that would be, you know, like, yes, God, that guy looks familiar to me. And you look at him and go, no, that's not him, but it looked like Brother Trey, you know, or it looked like Brother John. It looked familiar to him. But all of a sudden, with a closer look, you saw, well, this isn't exactly right. This is why we must have eyes to see. Because sometimes, brethren, we could come into something that looks familiar or similar. We could come to something that looks, well, this looks like God. It has a form of godliness, but the Bible said denying the power. So in Pentecostalism, they say we're not denying the power because we speak in tongues. Now they've taken and made speaking in tongues the power of God. Now many times I could say the power of God could have a expression of speaking in tongues. I could take you into the book of Acts, and I could take you through the scriptures, and we could find in many places when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, it said that they spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. So again, for thought, when I'm talking about the power, and they've taken this thing and saying the speaking in tongues, they say, well, man, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the initial evidence, they say. The initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Many Pentecostals say that. The word initial isn't in the scriptures, but they're using that, and they've all taken this thing. So they say, I know Brother Bo, I know Brother John, I know this because I heard them speak in tongues. Brethren, again, I'll go to the same passage. Scripture says, I prophesied in your name. Now, Bible teaches very clearly that prophecy is a greater gift than tongues. Now, if tongues is the Holy Ghost, how could there be anything greater than the Holy Ghost? Come on now. If tongues is the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, then I've got to say this. There's nothing greater than tongues, because that's saying, hey, he's got the Holy Ghost. So if you got the Holy Ghost, there's nothing greater than that. Amen. So I can't make prophecy greater. So there's a breach somewhere in the word or understandings of revelation. So the thing is that again, we're talking about the demonstration of the power. So we say, we got to have this demonstration. I don't want to just come to you with word, you know, I want to come with demonstration. Okay. So now they've taken the demonstration speaking in tongues. Now, why is it spoke of so much through New Testament doctrine about tongues? Why does it seem to be so significant, like every place that the Holy Ghost was poured out, when it was poured out first upon the Gentiles? That's what it said. It said, we've seen that these received the Holy Ghost. Would anybody forbid these water? And they took and baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And there was a tongue there, but why? What you got to understand now, you're right at the threshold of the church. Okay? And you got to also understand this, that the early church, they would have been considered proselytes out of Judaism, huh? These were people that came out of Judaism. These were people that, and they're now becoming into Christianity. Okay? They were taught a whole different doctrine than what the early church was. The Jews, it says, require a sign. That's New Testament doctrine. He said, I'm afraid of you. That's what New Testament doctrine says. I'm afraid of you because you need a sign or seeking after a sign. So why do we as the Pentecostals, for just expression's sake, I don't number myself as that, but I could be numbered in that, okay? Because I believe in the gifts of God and the power of God and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So many people number them with the Pentecostals. But we got to be careful with words nowadays, because so many words have made alterations. There was a day that you could have said, I'm thus and thus, or thus and thus, or thus and thus, but now it's taken on the form. You know, I like to tell everybody I'm gay, you know? But see, that word has gone through a metamorphosis, right? You know, I can see somebody getting that, I told you that dude wasn't right. I heard him say it himself, he's gay, you know? But you know where I'm going there with that kind of thought, you know? I'm not a pervert and a faggot, no. I'm not a sodomite or a homo. But I'd like to say I'm gay, I'm happy, man. Brethren working around the grounds and laboring together yesterday, that makes me gay. Well, that's why they all come over to the church, huh? I'm starting to get to see things. No, you need to understand what I'm saying. You see, it's happy. You know, but you see, so the thing is, we refrain from using the word because of etymology of the word. Is change it to perversion. So this is why we don't use the word no more. I don't tell people I'm gay. I'm using it as an expression to you to bring a thought. So, you know, I could say the same thing. Oh, I'm Pentecostal. Or, are you one of them ones that crawl on your hands and knees and bark? Oh, come on now. There's some of them go to church and until somebody's barking and crawling around, they got their wives, man, putting leashes on them with little choker chains and leading them around and they're barking and leading them on the floor. If that's the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, my friend, I tell you what, hell's looking really encouraging. Come on now. That is such a mockery of God. And I'm telling you what, if I was in a church like that, you'd all have to pray for me. Because I don't think Brother Rob has that much authority over his flesh. I think I'd be kicking some hind ends. You know, I'd be praying, Jesus, you had a whip and you ran them out. And Lord God, I ain't got a whip, but I got a guitar. I'm going to grab the closest instrument I got. And somebody's going to be going out the door of a church. And you say, where's the love of God in that? That is the most beautiful manifestation of love of God, to cleanse the temple of God and get the filth and the perverts and the nonsense out of there for we can get some word of God. Amen. But you see, counterfeits of demonstration. There's a saying, I just learned this the other day. I haven't been out there among them. I've been out of those realms for many years. I don't like intermingling with all the churches and stuff. There's so much tainting and perversion and filth and doctrines that and people are all intermingling on social medias, and we've got a big bunch of vomit. You mix a bunch of stuff together, it becomes a stench in the nostrils of God. And the thing is that they've got what they call a courtesy fall. This is an expression they're using in the Pentecostal churches. Well, you know, brother such lay down. Okay, I'm just going to courtesy fall. You know, I read an article about Benny Hinn and about some studies, and he had made a confession at some time that he studied group hypnotism. And the thing is that, let me tell you what happens. A lot of these Pentecostal people, they want to be part of something. They want to be accepted in a move. They want to be accepted in something. They all come together, you know, and boy, I tell you, I love Brother Randy Gilbert. I really believe he's a man of God, and he comes up and the preacher lays hands on him and he lays down, falls down, whatever, slain in the spirit. But let me tell you, I've had God take me out. I've had him take the strength out of me, the power out of me, and I've collapsed to the ground and couldn't move. So I'm not mocking the power of God here. But a lot of this stuff is just nothing but counterfeit. It ain't the power nor the demonstration of God. But they've used it as a counterfeit of these things. But this courtesy fall, they lay down. But a lot of them, like I say, they come and it's like, oh, you know, man, if I don't do, they're going to think I'm not spiritual. You know, and so they've taken the demonstration of the power of God and they've made all of these different scenarios. And in some churches, you know, man, Brother Gilbert got up in the church and man, he ran around the church 5 times. We don't get too much of that around here because they probably get rebuked. Brother, you're just disturbing the service. If you want to go get some stinking hog meat off of you, go out and run around the outside. We got a track out there. We're not exercising in the church. You know? And you say, but Brother Rob, that could really be the anointing of God and the Spirit of God. I think we'd all know it. Because Sister April will be right on his heels. Amen. I rejoice with him. Amen. No, come on, saints. You know, but what I'm saying is that, you know, before I came to the revelational message, I was involved in many different Pentecostal moves. I went all over the country traveling from state to state and been involved, been behind the scenes of a lot of things. I'm not sitting here trying to project myself, but I have observed. Some people have heard, some observed, okay? I went out and I saw a lot of things that were very disappointing to me. I remember one of our brethren went off over to the Philippines and he took some of Brother George's teach. Man, Brother George said the last move of the Holy Ghost is going to birth out of the Philippines and this and that. And I happened to be the one that was seen in this vision. His name meant something. And in the vision, because he came from Louisiana, showing this Louisiana purchase and having to do with the redemption of the body, his name was very significant. He hit a ball and went around the world. So he was the man. Now, I know I'm talking about some of y'all's family and some of our friends, but I'm just talking about this is what happens to novices and people that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend. This is what happens. People say, well, Brother Rob's just too harsh. No, I observe and I watch what destroys families and turn your wives into whores and your children's into whores. And I watch what happens. It starts out somewhere with your Filipino experiences. Amen. We need more than a Filipino experience. We need an infilling of the Holy Ghost with the genuine power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Amen. When it talks about not word only coming with a performance and with a power, amen, we would see that a man filled with the Holy Ghost isn't going to continue in his old fleshly ways of strife and discord and malice. Amen. Those are not fruits of the Holy Ghost. You could talk about your revelation and tell me this and that and you're involved in those things. You ain't got God's Spirit. It's a manifestation. You just got lip service. Word only. No demonstration of power. Power is putting your flesh under. Power is mortifying that flesh man every day. Power to put your feet on the scorpions and serpents that climb up in your intellectual mind. Power to resurrection the newness of Christ every day. Power to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to fellowship in the Spirit. Power to love one another, to love your enemies, to do good to them that despitefully use you. But we've taken the power and we've reduced it down, diminished it down to just speaking in tongues. Now, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that, brothers. But that's where one of the places that it's gone for the initial start of this failure. Now, you say, are you against speaking in tongues? Absolutely not. But it's taken and put the preeminence on the gift instead of on the Holy Ghost. Amen? And then when we say a familiar or similar, there's a familiar or similar spirit. And when the rain comes down, now listen to me. When the rain comes down, a man can speak in tongues, and it is by the unction of the Holy Ghost, but it's the rain. I prophesied in your name. I cast it, he said, I never knew you. The knowing doesn't come raining down. The knowing's from within. That knowing is the marriage relationship. It's the intimacy with God. It's the intimate marriage relationship that comes by entering into the secret chambers with God, and that seed goes within you. And when that seed goes within, just as a young mother has the seed come from the loins of her husband into her womb, and this seed would bring forth a life, okay, in that dimension after its kind. Amen? The seed of God comes by the Spirit of God, and this seed of God has got to come within us, and it is what keepeth us from sin. Now, you see, but again, the word sin, we've turned this thing into the same thing. We have a counterfeit, so to speak. We take it to a word of expression. I'm born of God, I cannot sin. Well, praise God for that. Now, I do believe in speaking the things and professing things into an existence. You know, if you had cancer, you know, and it was very obvious and it was upon you, or it was very obvious in your blood test or very obvious in signs, and you looked at me and you say, Brother Rob, I profess the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm well. I'm healed, my friend. I'm not going to speak unbelief to them. And, oh, no, you're dying. You're sick. I'm going to have a profession of faith with them, and we're going to join together as two joining and agreeing on this one thing, and faith is going to bring forth a substance, my friend. Now, right now, you may not see the substance of that healing from that cancer. You say, but I've seen the blood results. I've seen the reports from the doctors. I see the results in his weakness of his flesh, and he's got cancer. And I say, well, you're looking at lying vanity. I see the works of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to profess my God. I'm going to profess his works. I'm going to profess his labors. I'm going to profess his power. I'm going to profess his healing. And then, pow, the substance comes. All of a sudden, the doctors say, hey, we misdiagnosed this thing. Substance. Hey, I can't find the cancer in you. They say remission. I say substance. It's gone. You understand what I'm saying? Substance. Amen. If you look at me and you say, well, brother, we're just all in fellowship talking. I say, well, I'm a millionaire. And you say, yeah, I'm a millionaire too. Yeah, I'm a millionaire. And I say, let me see some substance. I'm a son of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been born again. Glory to God. And I say, show me some substance, because that just made me want to slap you. You know, I'm tired of the word only. Come on. You know, and you know, preachers, you know, they'll be talking, hey, Brother Rob, how you doing, man? Praise God, it's so good to you. And they get behind the sacred desk, they go, whoa. You know, I'm thinking, please, come on, please. I know that God will demonstrate himself differently through people, but they watch this, and they watch it, and they've seen this guy do it, and they're going to imitate, and imitate, and imitate, and imitate something. And that might have been the anointing on brother such and such 40 years ago, or 70 years ago, or 80 years ago. But you could mimic it right down to the T. And it ain't God. They can't get a hold of that. You know? I'm telling you what, you know, Brother Pike danced in the Holy Ghost over in a meeting in India. Where was it at, bro? Kenya. And there was some Muslims back in the background, and they were rising up against the mean stuff, but he danced all over the platform in the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing. But you know, brethren, you know, it moved many of our brethren in such a way, they were so moved by this. And boy, they wanted to pass this video around, and it was so exciting to them. But why not be excited about the word of revelation and the word of life? Amen. Without some, it was a wonderful thing to see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost that way, with the exuberance and excitement. Yes, we raise up our voice like a trumpet and we shout under the anointing of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, as we get them behind the platforms or the pulpits or the sacred desk, and they start shouting, and people think it's the anointing. And it's not. The anointing will shout, but the shout doesn't make an anointing. That's what Brother Arthur said. You know, and that's the truth. So what is the demonstration that we're speaking about here? So when we're exposing Pentecostalism, we've taken and we've made these changes. Church of Christ, you come to church, they get you into, they start indoctrinating, and they go baptize you in the name of titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now you're one of them. They'll leave you alone at that point. You're one of us now. We got you baptized into our church, the Church of Christ. Okay, but you can't use instruments. It says to, you know, the Bible says clearly, you know, to use these instruments and stuff to praise him and things, but they don't allow them to use instruments. That's okay. That's whatever they want to do. But that's what they do to accept you. You know, in many of the Pentecostal churches, man, you could come in the door, you could be a pervert, a drunk, a murderer, whatever. Boy, they get you in the altars. They get you baptized in Jesus' name or in the name of titles, depending on which flavor Pentecostal you're in. You know, and then they hear you speak in tongues. Well, you're one of us now. I've seen this happen, brethren. I was involved in it. I seen men come in. God held the gift of tongues back from me for the first year of my Christian walk. And I was in a Pentecostal church. They had me in every altar service grabbing on me. Let loose! Let loose! Another one saying, hang on! Hang on! I'm thinking, God, what do I do? I'm telling you the truth. And I went through that for a year. The first year of walking in God. I had a genuine infilling of God's Spirit and a change of life. And I was walking. Man, I had come out of the world and I was serving the Lord to the best of my ability. And I was excited about God. I was bringing people to church. Brethren, I didn't know much, but I knew God done something for me, and I was knocking on doors all over town, inviting people to church, and I took a church of 35 to 150 in about 6 months. You say, well, you're boasting, ain't you? No, I was just talking about I was in love. That's what love does. It multiplies. I had to share the love of God that I couldn't tell you. I probably couldn't tell you how many nails was in the boat. I couldn't tell you how many sticks of wood or the kind of wood that cross was made on, but I knew something happened to me. Amen. But the church did not accept me. They loved me and they was working with me, but man, they were shaking me and slapping me in the face and all these kind of things because they wanted me, but God held it back for a reason. Because if it would have come to me that way, then I would have been preaching the same doctrine. But I was walking in the power of God. Another man, a tongue talker, I was in church with him every service. I was in the altars. And man, he's praising God and swinging his arms and talking in tongues. And I'm smelling the stench of tobacco on him. I think, well, where's the power in that? And I love the guy. I know that sounds critical to you. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost gives you the power to demonstrate over tobacco. Over alcohol. He took those things out of my life. He took drugs out of my life. He started changing my language. My F word went from one to fabulous. Filled. You understand that? Yeah, I was a jerk. And I talked like a jerk. And I'm still a jerk. But I changed my language a little bit. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. So now we're talking about, I go to a church, and they have got this roadmap, so to speak. This is for we can accept you. And they want to hear me speak in tongues, but I had the fruit of the Spirit. I had manifestation and substance of a Spirit-filled man. I was about the Father's business. I was busy in this church. They made me the men's ministry director, and I didn't even have the Holy Ghost in their eyes. Because I was zealous. And I was doing something for God. Amen. And a broke down bus, and I fixed it. I said, you care if I fix that bus? He goes, it's fine. You know, and he thought, you know, I was going to this and that, man. And I showed up at church with it with 15 kids in it the first Sunday. He didn't expect that. The second Sunday, I had a 35-passenger bus full. You testifying? Sure I am. It was full. 35. I brought 35 children to church the second Sunday. And I told him, I said, the bus ain't big enough. I need a bigger one. And he said, well, you got to go up and ask the people for help. I'd never stood behind one of these things, man. Man, I was a shaking. My knees was rattling. And they raised the money that morning. So then I went and bought a 60. I traded this one and bought a 60-passenger bus. And you know what? Then I started seeing the parents of these children start coming to church. And I knew nothing. I just was in love with Jesus. It wasn't about demonstrating me. It was about talking about him. It wasn't about, man, look at me. I'm a preacher, man. I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you, you're blessed to come into my presence. Let me tell you about this revelation. Shut up. Love them. Show them the love of God. I'm sick of people bringing forth revelation doctrine and they don't have the love of God in their heart. They don't have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. They're walking around in this depressions and torment all the time when all they got to do is say, oh God, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my King. You're my salvation. You're my everything. Amen. And all of a sudden he fills you with the joy. Hallelujah. And you're walking and you love people and you want to share the love of God with people. You're not worried about how much you know and what you think you should know, and you could demonstrate some of them that you can walk away. Well, I showed them. Man, that's sickening. It's a disgusting thing. Amen. Don't get beside yourself, Brother Rob. If I do, I hope it's for Christ. Amen. God is good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:4, one more time. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So again, in speaking, this one over here says the demonstration of this is speaking in tongues. I was in prayer seeking the Lord and talking to the Lord. And I'm thinking, Lord, why? Why? And then he revealed to me and showed me. I woke up praying in the Holy Ghost one night. And I was praying out loud, speaking in a language. And it was just intercessing through me. You see, after that, then the church accepted me. But I had a revelation. God held it back for a purpose. I had a revelation. When I found myself, or awakened myself, I could say, by speaking in the Holy Ghost, when this particular thing happened to me, I didn't get up and run to church the next day or run and tell people, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew I had already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew for a fact that I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost because something happened to me that changed my life. It wasn't just some service or some great willpower in my life. There was something that was moving in me. There was something that changed me. There was something that done something on the inside of me that absolutely started transforming me as a man. And I love the Lord. Amen. It was something that started making me not making decisions. Amen. I'm talking about before the gift of speaking in tongues. There was something in me that started me backing off and quit making decisions of what I thought I was going to do and started allowing something else to make the decisions for me. Amen. There's your fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's when you no longer live and now it's Him living. And it's no longer your idea, but it's His idea. It's no longer your will, but it's His will. It's not never your ministry, but it's His ministry. And when it becomes your ministry, it's nothing but a stench in the nostrils of a living God. And He hates it because it takes the glory away from Him. There is no other ministry. Amen. I had a Branhamite say not too long back. He said that there, God hadn't spoke to a man since William Branham left. And he said if a preacher has anything to say today, it's a direct quote of William Branham. That man is of the devil. He's full of the devil. He's of his father, the devil. Amen. It wasn't the ministry of William Branham. It isn't the ministry of Brother George L. Pike. It's the ministry of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The revelation wasn't the revelation of George L. Pike. He said it over and over and over. He said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the book of Revelation. It wasn't John the diviner. It wasn't his revelation. It was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's still the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The manifestation, the demonstration of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is love. Amen. And without charity, without love, it profits you nothing to know all mysteries. It profits you nothing. Amen. And you could come and make a presentation of quotes, and you could make quotes and quotes of what these great men of God did and what they said, and you could tell me all about it. But if I don't see the demonstration of charity in your life, if I don't see love in your life as the completeness and the fullness, you've got nothing, my friend. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Brother Pike used to say, he said, your revelation isn't worth 2 cents without holiness. Amen. Praise God. Y'all love the Lord? We're serving a mighty God. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. I heard a preacher say just about 30 minutes ago, man, some good preaching. It's all right, Sister Hannah. Take it easy. Amen. I'm getting wore out up here. How about you? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. See, it does come in word, but not word only. We need to have word. Don't take this message of removing the word. We need to have the word in us. We can take a message like this, say, oh man, praise God, I pray in the Holy Ghost, amen. And we need to have the word in us. Amen. The word is the power. Amen. But the thing is we got to differentiate between intellectual man's word and divine spiritual God's word. You understand? There's a difference. And man's word could be so familiar to God's word. It could be so familiar that people will follow after it. I know some men that are great speakers. But I mean, they could get you and hold you, and the Holy Ghost never come. They could hold you with a concept of intellectual quotes of great things. There was a man that wrote a book called God's Generals. Made him famous. He went all around the country preaching. I had meetings with thousands of people in them because he wrote a book called God's Generals. And what he did is he talked about many in this book. I never read it. Probably saw some excerpts of it back when I was in the days of the word churches in the 80s. But he went around, and that was the foundation of his ministry. And he was talking about these great moves of God. I believe he used Brother William Branham in there as one of God's generals. Trinitarian world didn't like it a lot, and he was considered a Trinitarian himself. But like I say, I think he ended up what they call coming out of the closet. He never got in the closet, if you want to know the truth. That's what I told him in this church. I said, you know, the queers are coming out of the closet, they say. But I said, no, the problem is the reason the queers are coming out of the closet is because the men of God came out of the closet first, the prayer closet. Amen. We need to pray them bunch of perverts back into not just their closets, but into hell. We need to start getting serious. Well, we need to love them, Brother Rob, and bring them into kingdom. I don't want the filthy perverts in the kingdom with me. Now, I know where that's going to go. Whoa. I love seeing stuff just to stir the devils up. Amen. I don't want no perverts. There will be no perverts in the kingdom of God. Now, a pervert could get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and born again and be made pure. Amen. But he ain't entering in like that. I'll tell you what, Bruce Jenner ain't going to be standing no pretty dress before the Lord. If it is, it's going to be the wedding garment. And he's been cleansed and washed. They want to take this gender thing out of the way now. Oh, my. Why, Lord? They want to remove this gender thing. You know why? See, you could see it as just, oh, it's just perversion. Well, it's a perversion that started years ago. You remember the T-ball, how it ended up being a man in prison? Huh? Well, let me talk about this gender thing. It's when the preachers started allowing their women to wear pants. There's the beginning of the problem. And when they allow them to start cutting off the hair and shorten it up like a man, there's the beginning of your problem right there. And now it's escalated all the way down, and now they want to share the bathrooms with you. They want to make these women presidents. They want to make them senators. They want to make them governors. And you say, you're a male chauvinist pig. I'd rather be a male chauvinist pig as a pervert sitting under a woman. Amen. Come on now. Well, you're popular, ain't you, Brother Rob? I ain't look for popularity. I preach the gospel. You see, I've sat and heard all the discussions about why you think a woman could be a preacher. Amen? But you see, we're talking about manifestation. The manifestation of the power of God. And this woman isn't in no place in that manifestation of God's power to sup authority over a man. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, I've heard this one. Well, you know, Brother Rob, the men just ain't doing what they're supposed to, so God had to raise up a woman. He'll take a jackass first, and he'll speak through an ass first. Oh, I'm popular, ain't I? I just testified about a sister down there speaking the word of God to children. So don't you misunderstand what Brother Rob's saying. God will speak through a woman. He might, you know, Mr. Tough Masculine Man and you the head of the house and stuff. You might ought to shut up sometimes and listen to what your wife says. Amen. She might be inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she might be talking to you and help you from a path of destruction. I'm not taking the anointing of a woman away. I'm not taking the Holy Ghost living and dwelling in a woman away. I'm not taking the prayer life of the woman or the ability to win souls into the kingdom. But they got no business a supping authority over a man as a pastor because it perverts the word of God. Amen. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Amen. Now, had a man of God bring a wonderful message, got involved with some wonderful things. We helped support him going off over to India here just recently. And he shared right here in his church from this sacred desk about taking a woman with him as a preacher over there to Africa a few years back. I'm thinking, oh God, what have I done? I'm trying to love people, reach out to people, and he's sharing this. I'm thinking, oh, help me, Jesus. And then we hear the end of the matter. She goes over there, Miss Preacher Woman, goes into an affair with another pastor and busts up his family and his children. Huh. And you say, well, that's terrible. Why do you always go to these extreme stories? I know some preacher women that are good, godly women. Well, praise God for them. But it's a perversion. And when you make allowances, perversion, more perversion breeds from perversion. And you say, so you don't have to go to some extreme preacher because of this woman preacher goes over there and busts up a home, and you can't throw all the women preachers in the same category. No, I can't. And I'm not doing that. But here's a man talking about this and what took place and what happened. And I'm thinking, if you would have been following the revelational doctrine and following the word of God, you never would have took a woman over there and you wouldn't have been in this problem. Well, I know many men preachers that went over and busted up homes and busted up families. What are you going to say about that? I'm going to say they are over their father, the devil. That's what I'm going to say. But that would have been one easier problem to fix. The Bible said that the woman is the weaker vessel. She's going to subject herself unto the man. And the man's going to be subjected unto Christ. And Christ subjected unto God. So there's an order in God. And when you get out of that order, something's going to happen. So we're talking about gender for a moment. So now it's come all the way down to the end. And they're wanting to put little boys and girls bathrooms and little girls and boys bathrooms. Somebody said they was on a job here the other day or something, and there was a six-year-old, and they said, well, they're not sure what they want to be yet. You know what I think about that? Now, you're going to not like this statement, but if you want to hear about what the expression of love of God is, that child should be yanked out of them parents' house. I don't care if he's a millionaire. I don't care if he owns the Cadillac dealership. I don't care if he owns the Rolls Royce dealership or if he's flying Lear jets. They need to take that child out of that house. And that man needs to be incarcerated in prison for child endangerment. Amen. Give Jesus a hand. Come on, saints. I approve this ad. Rob Coons for president. I wouldn't step down to a mire, muck and mire of such. Preacher told me the other day, he said, Brother Rob, you got to vote. And I said, you put somebody in I could vote for, I'll go do it. Well, he said, you know, you can't vote, Brother Rob, for the one that you want. You got to vote against the one you don't want. That's what he told me. I said, wow. He said, I don't want Hillary Clinton in there. You got to go vote that way. And I said, nah, I'll leave that with you voters. You know, they've got preachers that are pressing to go out there and vote. But I know that my Bible said if I give God speed to something, amen, I'm going to be partakers with it. And you put your name on a ballot and put a man in office and he starts changing laws and making these gender issues okay and making queers okay and doing all this kind of stuff and removing the word of God from this and that, you are partakers with it, amen. And you'll stand the wrath of God. You may never been in a sexual perversion, immorality of sodomy, but when you put a man's name on the ballot and you put that guy in there that's putting power to them sodomites, you are going to burn in hell with a sodomite as a pervert just like them. That's the word of God. Amen. You say, well, I've got a preacher that says that we got to go out and do that. Well, you keep following him. Amen. And you'll find out what burnt flesh tastes like in hell when you're chewing on him. Amen. That's sound doctrine, my friend. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Listen to that last part. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, do you see something being said in that? We're talking about substance of the power. They saw something. He says, I'm not just speaking the word to you. Brethren, you've watched my life is what he's saying. I'm going to paraphrase it. You've seen my life. You've seen the demonstration. You've seen the sacrifice. You've seen the separation of the world. You've seen me come out of that thing. He made a statement over here in another scripture. He said, follow me. You know, and we get religious, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, he said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me, he said. I'm not ashamed to tell people to follow me because I know where I'm at. I know who I'm walking with. I'm not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm not in a struggling, a wrestling match between things of such. I'm established. I'm settled in the demonstration of God's power. I've been planted by a river of life, amen. I've been planted by the water with a taproot. I'm not being moved by every wind of doctrine. I'm not tossed to and fro. I'm not out here intermingling with all the filth and the perversion of the religious order. Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels of religion. He has taken over the churches of America. He's taken over the broadcasting of America, the radios of America, the televisions of America, the ministries of America. He's on the satellites. He's on the TVs. He's on everything, amen. And I am not going to sell out to them and follow the path of least resistance. I'm not going to follow those things, amen. Brethren, we get fatty. Not fatty, fad with a D. A little fatty too, amen. But you know, we like these things. You know, what they've done is they burn out this move in the Pentecostalism. So now we got to have this new move. Oh, we got the laugh. We go to church. And they sit and laugh. Somebody needs to run them out the whip. I've seen them. I've been in the services. You know what I did? I would look at these ignorant people laughing. I'd get tickled at them. I wasn't laughing in the Holy Ghost. I think, look at that stupid woman. She is laughing so hard. Come on, I'm looking at it. Yeah, it was comical. It wasn't church. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost laughter, as they say. It was a bunch of ignorance. Flesh. And they leave, oh, we had a good church tonight. I've seen some things, my friend. Been involved in some things. Well, I don't know if I could say I was involved in it, man. I was ready to run. Amen. I'd left many church services and walked out of many doors over the years. I was so thankful to meet Brother Pike. He was the first man of God that I met that I had questions and started getting answers. I asked many men of God all over the country questions, and I got answers, my friend. But the answers wasn't fitting here. I heard an intellectual answer. Oh, yeah, let me tell you this. But let me tell you something. When you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, it bears witness with the truth. And that man spoke truth to me I couldn't understand with my intellectual mind. It was over my head, but man, my spirit man was leaping for joy on the inside. When I met that brother, my dad's sitting next to me. He goes, come on, son, we got to go. Come on, son, we got to go. We got 2,800 miles and we got to go. We got another appointment. We got to get back. We got to go. We got to go. And there was something in my spirit saying, my God, I just got here. This is the place I've been looking for. This is what I've been searching for. Amen. And my spirit, man, just grabbed on. And he said, this is what you've been longing for. This is what you've been looking for. Amen. And I had another man saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I never left, even though my body drove off. Got in a car with my dad and we headed back. Amen? But I was there. And you say, well, yeah, Brother George had a way, man, of talking with people. And having... It wasn't Brother George, my friend. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it was in that brother, and I'd give honor unto him, all and double honor unto him. And he was my pastor, and I love him. I got only kind words of expression. He was a man of God, a great man of God. Yes, but it wasn't the greatness of the man of God or what he was teaching. It was the Holy Ghost manifesting and going forth as a substance. It was a demonstration of the power of God. Men's hearts are moved. Men's hearts are changed, amen. Where is the changing power of your Holy Ghost? Where is the changing power of your religion? If your religion doesn't have substance, it's not of God. It's of man. It's of word only. You go to Bible studies. You go to sit along amongst theologians. And you sit in seminars. And you listen. And you eat. And your head gets fat. And you listen. And you eat. And your head gets fat. And you listen. And you eat. And you're obese in the intellect. You're obese and you better have to put a knife to your throat, and you just need to get to the simplicity of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And start serving Him with all of your heart and loving Him and loving people and spreading the love of God to people, and not about all the things of your intellectual great superior understandings and wisdom. You see, there's people that get so angry with Brother Rob, they could just choke me for preaching a message like this. Because their vindication for their salvation is quotes of men of God. Oh, bless God, I can't sin. Give me another bottle of booze. I'm so spiritual. I got so much revelation. You can't drink because you're weak. But I'm strong. Give me another drink. I'm permitted to do this. And they go out and do those things. They're in sexual immoralities and filth and perversion. And they say, oh, to the pure, all things are pure. That's exactly the word of God. To the pure, all things are pure. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the unpure, it's not pure. And it'll never purify. And when you've been purified by the Holy Ghost, you'll walk in the demonstration and the power of God, walking in godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. Let's give Him a hand, saints of God. Hallelujah. We need demonstration of God's Word. People come to you with their lip service. Amen. The Bible said they praise me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me. Amen. Second Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Boy, there's a lot of them around. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We preach a message, beloved, now we are the sons of God. This isn't just some cunning fable. This isn't some talk about an Easter bunny. This isn't talk about a Santa Claus. I'm telling you, that's what they've turned religion into. I'm sorry. They talk about things of such, but He's not talking about that. Majesty. Come on now. You want to talk about what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's a manifestation of His majesty and power. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. We have people, brethren, that say, hey, I'm a son of God. But we don't see the manifestation of His majesty in them. We don't see the power of His Holy Ghost in them. We don't see the substance of faith. You see, I could talk about faith this morning. Without faith, you'll be numbered in sin. If you have no faith, it's numbered to you and imputed to you as sin. Without faith. You say faith is the substance, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. Amen? It's invisible. The Father's invisible. No man is seen. And we've got to bring the invisible Father into visible. Remember, everything that's visible is temporal, and everything that is invisible is eternal. You see, Jesus, the Son of Man, walking among men was temporal. That's why the Bible said we no longer know Him after that image. That was just a glove for the glory of the Father to manifest in the fullness in. And then the glove was taken and beaten on the cross of Calvary for my sins, not for its or His. And He said, don't know Him after that no more. You want to know God in the resurrection. That's how we got to know God, is in the resurrection. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob. No, wait a minute to it. We no longer know Him after the flesh. We know Him in the resurrection. Where is this resurrection at? Right here. And right there. And right there. And right there. We're the sons of God. How'd we get there? The resurrection. You see, you got to get beyond your religious dogma and your religious playing games to get to the reality of God's Word. The Bible said, I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now is now, right now. It's not something to come. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I'm crucified with Him. I no longer live. Amen. I'm a new creature. A new creature in Christ. New creature. What is that new creature? Old things passed away. My old brother Rob, with my careers and my ambitions and my desires and my wants. And I say, here I am, Lord God, I'm your servant. You think, well, I hear you, brother Rob, I got to get out of career now. I got to get out of this. No, you got to give your career to the ministry. You got to give your career to God. Then it's not yours, it's His. And if He wants to use it for His glory, praise God, let Him do it. If He wants to take it away and give it to somebody else, let Him do it. But how come when God wants to give some of your subs away, you... That's mine. You see, it just proves that you ain't His. You could tell when a man is told he's sold out to God. You could tell. It's going to be obvious. It's going to bring a substance. It's going to bring a manifestation. It's going to bring a power. It's going to bring a demonstration. You see, brethren, we've taken and converted the things of the expectation of God into an intellectual way. That's the way this world operates. Let me tell you something. There could be a guy on a job for 4 or 5 years that's been trained and knows the business, knows the company, knows everything about it. And he could take that company and make it flourish and raise it right up. But nowadays, that man isn't qualified. But they got some greenhorn that went to college. Ooh, he got him a master's degree. And they take him and put him in charge because of a degree. Come on now, listen to me. I got a point to make here. I'm not just hammering down on education. Don't take me wrong. I've seen this. I've been in business for years. I've seen these things manifest in businesses and corporations. But because this man has got this degree and been approved by the system and met the criteria of the system, the beast mind, they put him at the head of the table. Made him a CEO. And there was another man that didn't have those qualifications, but their company policy would not allow that man to take when he had the ability and the capabilities and the substance, the demonstration, the ability, the skill, the revelation, the understanding. He had all that, but he didn't have the degree. It's happened to the church. The same thing has happened with the church. The qualifications of a bishop aren't 2 years of college. 4 years of college. It isn't a degree in theology. The Bible said, yes, they need to be apt to teach. Okay, I understand the criteria, biblical criteria for a bishop, for a pastor, for an evangelist. Got to have their household in order, not give them the wine, not be a striker. You know, I know the qualifications here, my friend. But those are discounted. That man's qualifications that was trained on the job. That raised up in the business. His qualifications don't mean anything. Because they superseded that with an education. And that's what's running America and the churches of America. When a man stands before you and says, well, let me tell you something. I am qualified. I've got a doctor's degree in thus, thus, and thus in theology. We had 2 doctors of theology in this church. And I've never seen anything more stupid, ignorant, defiling, and gross. This man, I'm trying to be nice. He was Bruce Jennerized. And he was married to a doctor of theology, and he was a doctor. They both had master's degree of theology. Went to colleges. All over the world, they was over in Jerusalem or Israel, somewhere there. They called themselves apostolic or UPC or something. Oh, they're one God people, boy, Jesus name people. No, they're of their father, the devil. What are you saying, Brother Ron? I'm saying this is what's running the churches of America, doctors of theology, that are the most ignorant, blind in their own deceits, puffed up in their own fleshly, vain minds, and they're running their churches and organizations. Let me say this, and I'm going to close here right directly. I'm repeating. You take a man that's a good businessman, good entrepreneur. He's faithful in church, pays his tithes. He's a good working man. Got a good job, makes money in the community, makes decisions, hires people, fires people. And people see him as a good man. Got a good name within and without. Deacon material. They put him in as a deacon in the church. Their qualifications weren't biblical qualifications. They had some biblical qualifications. If a man can't support his own home, he has no business with any position in the church. Okay? So they do have some biblical qualifications, but it goes beyond that. It said that the man must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Find me a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, let alone a deacon nowadays. I'm telling you the truth. Find me one. Now, I can find you a bunch that's got the counterfeit, but I don't see no demonstration in the Holy Ghost in any other part of their life except when they come to church. Oh, they talk in tongues, they dance in the Spirit, they shout, say we had a good time. They'll preach so hard they got no voice left, but they go back out in the world, they go out to the jobs, they go out to workplaces, and they live like the rest of the world. They talk like the rest of the world. They're in the ball games, they're in the sports places, and they're doing things that sons of God got no business doing. And they're reproaching the name of God, and they're turning people away from the doctrine of God. Because they become spots and blemishes in the feast of charity. We find a counterfeit in everything. Everybody's got something to make it feel like they've arrived to this place. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. You don't arrive through your intellectual concepts. The Bible does say this, that they die like men from a lack of knowledge. Okay, so there is a knowledge that you must obtain. But a knowledge is not the door to the kingdom. There is a spirit of knowledge and a spirit of wisdom that comes, brethren, when you are a child of God. But this knowledge is not the door. You say, well, Jesus Christ is the door. And I say, yea and amen. And he is love and charity. If you go and read the 13th chapter of Corinthians, and you're going to say, charity vaunteth not itself. It is kind. It thinketh no evil. Amen? And we start looking at what the attributes of charity is. There's a good place to start if you want to number yourself in Christianity. If you want to tell me you've been spirit-filled, there's a good foundational place to start. Because I'm going to tell you something, the demonstration of God's love has got a lot of opposition against it. Because they hated him first, they're going to hate you also. Brethren, your problem ain't going to be with the people of the world. When you get on path with God and you're walking in the divine presence of God and walking in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, the church is going to hate you. Not the church of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the true, but I'm talking about the religious people of America. And when people have departed the revelation of Jesus Christ and started taking on a form of godliness and conforming to the religious world, and their religious ways, and their seminars, and their televisions, and their programs, and their minds, and their set, they're going to be walking on the wide, broad path of destruction, and they've received the infilling of the biggest devil that there is. And that devil is a religious spirit. I got delivered from a religious spirit. It is the hardest spirit to get a man delivered from. Alcohol's a piece of cake. Tobacco's a piece of cake. Heroin's a piece of cake. It's nothing. For a man to get set free from heroin is a nothing. I'm telling you, it is so simple to take authority and power to get delivered from a religious devil. It takes all the power heaven has, amen. It takes everything in the power and the authority of God. It takes prayer and fasting and dedication and supplication. It takes it all to get rid of a religious devil. And you've got to see it first. You've got to bring it to recognition. And men walk full of that devil all the time. And in their religious polishness, and they think that they're a man of God, and they talk like a man of God, and they dance and they shout and they preach, and they're on their way to hell. They've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Come on, saints of God. I know that devil because I had that devil. And nobody could tell you got it. Amen. It took a skilled man of God. I was preaching the gospel, traveling the country and doing different things. And it took a skilled man of God to love me and embrace me and to talk with me and to fellowship me and to bring that thing to surface so it could be taken care of and get rid of. And I thank God. I thank God I got a testimony for being delivered from other things also. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. A religious spirit is the most evil presence in the world. America's being ran by it. Amen. And it's a form of godliness denying the power of God. You see, I preached against that. I preached about that when I was out there in it. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. You say, were you lost, Brother Rob? No, I was not lost. God saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, and He said, it'll lead you to all truth. But when I come to the truth, it started differentiating between them religious demons. And it started differentiating between these minds and these spirits. And I started having to recognize it, and those were some of the things I had to start casting down. You understand that? I had to start putting them down and casting them things down. Amen. There's a mind of a man that I was trained in. There was a mind of a man that knew how to go get the job done. There was a mind of a man that knew how to make things happen through the power of positive thinking. I sat and was trained in seminars how to be better than the next person, how to progress, how to go. That's an evil mind! It's the mind of the devil! Every single time, it makes you a millionaire. It makes you prosper. It makes you around the world. It buys yachts and boats and luxuries, and it puts you in hell. I know that mind. Amen. And when I came to a place called Bethlehem, a pastor started taking the whip and the rod of correction and started pulling that mind out of me. That was my life. That was my existence. That's how I made things happen. That's how I moved. That's how I made money. And he started tearing it down and tearing it down. And I was proud. I had a good name. I had what you would call your great beacon scores and great finance, and I could buy, and on my signature I could do this, and everything was stripped down. I show up with two brand new cars, and I'm driving a 20-year-old truck with four children, and people are looking at me and say, man, God, Brother Rob's in a cult. Man, Brother Rob's missed the Lord. Man, he's traveled around the world in a brand new truck. He's traveled around the country with a 40-foot. He's done this, and they esteem me as a man of God. But man, God had to tear me down. He had to tear all that stuff down and strip it away from me. And all of a sudden, I found God. Amen. I found Him when I got stripped down. And then He started out and back. Brother Pike said, this is his quote. He said, Brother Rob, he said, God stripped down, but He'll add back. And He'll restore greater. Amen. Because what He's restored is eternal. What I had was temporal. Amen. And it's what makes the church world go around. Amen. Let me tell you, there's people that study psychology. That's wonderful. Psychology is an awesome thing. Okay? But let me tell you about psychology versus discernment of the Holy Ghost. Ain't no comparison. I mean, to tell you, you sold out for a lesser light. Amen. But the whole church is manifesting in business, manifesting in sales, manifesting in entrepreneurship, and and this is how we went. So they add an increase and build churches like Joel Osteen's got, full of nothing but the devil. I'm going to tell you something. Joel Osteen's church, you put a Holy Ghost filled man of God in there, it'll go from 26,000 to 26 overnight. Thus saith the Lord. And you say, that's not God's will. God's will is to separate the sheep and the goats. Amen. And if there's 26 sheep in there, they'll stay under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I would like to hope more than 26. But brethren, it's a little flock. Amen. I tell you, you need to get some fear of God back in your lives. Amen. You need to get some fear of God. Because I'm telling you what, there's going to be separations made. Amen. By the anointing of God and the power of God. And it's not easy to see people you love when they're separated. It breaks your heart. You know, but still it's God's work. It's God's move. It's God's way. That's the problem with the churches. Well, we're going to vote this pastor out because he offended Auntie. You know. Well, Auntie's nothing but an obese sweat hog. She needed to be offended. Come on now. You say, I don't like that talk. Well, you know what? I'm just making a point. I just love to emphasize. And I know how to get your attention. See, now I know you're listening when you squirm a little bit. You know? Praise God! Amen. You're listening. Miss Auntie needed to be offended. Come on. She needed to be offended. You know, you say, well, if you offend a little one, you better off to put a millstone around your neck. She ain't a little one. She's a big devil. There's a difference between a big devil and a little one. When Auntie's been in church for 29 years and a half and 3 days, you know, come on. When she's been in church all of her life and she's a busybody and a Jezebel, huh, and a troublemaker, a silly woman laden with lust, subverting whole households, going house to house, strife and discord, you can call her Auntie if you want. I'm going to call her Jezzy. Huh? And she ain't nothing but a Jezebel devil, and we need a man of God to take authority and whip her hind in, huh? And run the devil off. Amen. You want to talk about the demonstration of the power of God? It's commanding the house of God. Amen. And they come in with their form of godliness. They come in with the proper attire and things, but they ain't got the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. This is why some people are turned away from holiness, because they seen too many long dresses on nothing but whitewashed sepulchers, huh? And they seen nothing but that, and they think, oh, there ain't nothing to that. And they go off into another church, and they got a woman wearing her pants that got more Holy Ghost than the one in the long dress. I understand that, but it still ain't right. I'm going to give you an example of what I just said. And I'm going to try to close. I'm just reaching for souls. Amen. But listen to me. I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to offend you, and then I'm going to fix it. I hope you can stick around for the fix. Huh? There are homosexual men that are better daddies than some heterosexual men. I don't like that. There ain't no such thing. Well, I'll agree with you in a minute when I get done saying this. But I'm doing the same thing for you people that have women pastors. Huh? I'm doing the same thing. There's some women pastors out there that got better understandings. They know how to preach the word better with a demonstration, and they can preach it with a substance and a fabric, so to speak, with a criteria or a curriculum, and they can bring forth a thought, a revelation, an understanding that you could benefit from and grow in the grace and knowledge of God better than some men. It still ain't right. Still ain't right. Now you can take two men. They ain't nothing but perverts. They went down to the courthouse. And some reprobate, perverted devil married them. Called a judge. Gave them a license. They're married. In the laws of your land, the courts could give them a child. Or maybe this guy was a heterosexual and maybe got converted to being a queer. So he brings his children into this perverted relationship. Oh, he's out riding bikes in the park with his boy. Come on, son. Got his tippy toes on the pedals. He's got one of these on the handlebars. Beep, beep. Okay, I'm sorry. Done mocking. You got the picture, though, right? It's a stinking queer, right? We got that picture. Tiptoeing through the park on his bicycle. Got his little boy riding. Oh, Daddy, this is so fun. Thank you, Daddy. And he's got his queer mate with him. Getting the picture, ain't you? Hey, they're being a daddy. That's what daddies should do. They should take time for their children, do those kind of things. They might be at home rolling on the floor and playing with them. Come on now, having fun with them, giving time to them, spend to them. But Mr. Pentecostal Daddy, praise God, I'm winning souls into the kingdom. Shut up, boy, I ain't got time for you. And he's doing that. That guy ain't fit to be called a preacher. Oh, I'm too busy for God to take time for my family. I understand sacrifice of family. Brethren, but I'm going to tell you something. A Holy Ghost-filled man of God. Yeah, he might leave his wife and home and with the children maybe and be preaching the gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have time to be a father. He's going to have time to raise those children up in the Lord. And show them love. And show them what a daddy is. So what I'm trying to tell you that Mr. Pentecostal preacher ain't got time to be a dad, thinking he's doing something for God, and he's just a man running, beating at the air. But that queer's got time, and he's a better dad than you are. Now, can I correct myself? I'm using your analogy to okay women preachers. I'm using your analogy to okay women in their pants and their makeup and their paint and their powder. Oh, I know a sister, man. You know, man, she could, man, them big, bright, red, stinking lips, man, she got nothing but the praises of God coming out of them. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I've seen it. Before I came to the revelational doctrine, I was in churches. I never was agreeing, but I sat under some women evangelists. I heard them preach. And let me tell you, some of them I'd have rather sat under than many of the men that came through. And I mean that. They've had a message, they had a word, they challenged you and thought, but it still isn't of God. Well, did you feel the anointing? I felt the anointing. Amen. I even said, amen, praise God. Amen. I felt the Spirit, but it still isn't right. We got to defend the word. Well, why is it wrong, Brother Rob? Has anybody ever taken time to explain that to you, why it's wrong? Because the Bible says in the beginning, we go back to the beginning, and the woman was in the transgression, and she was made a little weaker than the man because of that. And it said that she would be put under the authority of the man because of the weakness. And the man needs to love her and lead her gently into the kingdom the way God loves you and leads you into the kingdom. It's an absolute beautiful scenario of your relationship with God, Mr. Tough Guy. Because you, Mr. Tough Guy, are a weak sissy in the mind of God in your fleshly ambitions. And you need to sell that fleshly sissiness out and surrender it to God and follow Christ. I know I talk crude, but sometimes that's the only thing that gets your attention because the polished little correct mannerisms ain't been working for you. So I just slap you in the face with a big crude thing, and hopefully you'll get the idea that you're stench in the nostrils of God and repent of your sins and start following after God. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, I like the way my preacher does it better. And I say, praise God for other preachers. Amen. If he's preaching God's word. Amen. I want to make sure that the Lord has thoroughly made his delivery this morning. Amen. Y'all feel good? Amen. So we find in the close of this message that we need to analyze ourselves. You do, you do, you do, you do, like every one of you. You. Need to analyze. It's easy to find fault with everybody else. It's real simple to see everybody else's weaknesses and stumblings and failures. But it takes God to see your own. That's why the Bible said you look in the looking glass. I always say that when I paraphrase it as mirror. You walk away not realizing what manner of man you are. That's a revelation. That scripture right there, I'm telling you, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it. We look in the glass, we look in the glass, we look in the glass, we walk away and still don't know what manner of man we are. It takes a revelation to know what manner of man you are. You see, when you go to school, they put you into sports as a child, and they put you into a point of competitiveness, and they enter you into a beastly reality and a beastly mind. Two dogs meet, they sniff each other's hinds in, they glare their teeth at each other, and one's looking for superiority over another. That's man. Man does the same thing. They start going up the corporate ladder. I went to 2 years of college over here at such and such. I got another year of college over here at such and such. And I got this, and it's two dogs sniffing their hind end. That's all it is. I know I'm crude, man, but I'm hoping you're getting the point. That's what dogs do out in the yard, right? Come on, is that crude? That's what dogs do. Dogs go out and everything, and as a Gentile, that's what you are, dog, okay? And that, you know, dogs are sniffing each other up, seeing who's going to be the most dominant. They stare each other down. Man does the same thing. Come on. You go to the prisons and you visit, this way they walk. Got that chest pushed out a little bit. Don't you get messed with me. Dude, don't even look at me that way. You don't know what you're messing with. You know what I'm saying? You see, it's a masculinity thing. They push their way through the world. The women, man, they tighten it up here. They pump it up here and silicone it, paint it, tighten it up, push it out, swing it. You see, it's just another same thing. A beastly thing. That's what the beast world does. Come on now, go to look at the extent the birds do and all the things do to get their mate. So the women, they've learned it. You know, Brother Andy was with us over in Africa, and this man, I was with this sister. Boy, she's singing, and she was the song leader. And she's saying, I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. And then she said, I feel him in my hips. And man, that woman could throw them hips from this. And Andy's like, got the camera on me. I looked at her and said, you're a jerk. Because I was getting ready to do the hip part, man. Woo, son. And Andy had a big smile on that camera. Come on, preacher, let's see the hips, man. But then women ought to use them hips. You know what the Bible says about it? He said, God hates it. He said, the mincing of feet. You know what that is? I do. If you're not sure what the mincing of feet is, the way them women walk down them runways when they're showing clothing off. There's your mincing of feet. God said he hates that. Amen? But that's what sells everything. You got to put the mincing of feet in to sell a car. You got to sell a little box of cereal and got the same thing. You got the little Jezebel up there swinging around. It don't matter what it is. They're going to use it to sell anything and everything. And God still hates it. Amen? We got to find the mind of revelation. We got to find the mind of God. And we got to walk therein. Don't ever get subjected to the genuine and then go for the counterfeit. Amen? When you go to study out and learn to study counterfeit money, they don't give you counterfeit money to learn it. They give you the real money. And they teach you to study the real thing. And you study that $100 bill and you look it over and you study it. You put it under the magnifying glass and you look at it. You look and see where the serial number at, where the seal's at, where everything at. And you study and you study it and study it. And one day when somebody hands you something counterfeit, you say, man, that looking good. Wow. Yeah, it'll probably spend. The counterfeit religion will move you in places in this world and you could spend it and raise yourself up to the top. You could be in the spotlights. You could be on the satellites. You could be down there rubbing elbows with TBN and over there with all of them. It'll get you all the way up. But you're going to find out when you're at the other end that you're without the wedding garment on. Amen. So you need to find the genuine and what's right. And when you do that, brethren, I didn't have peace out there in that church world. There was something bothering me and troubling me in my spirit. Because everything that I've seen in my travels, everything I went, it usually was stimulated by finances and money and more monies to go into the next thing and do the next thing. Everything was focused around money and taking up offerings. And I didn't like it. And I made a mistake. I made a vow to God that I would never receive money and finances for ministry. And I made a vow and I was in error. I had to pay for that. And I traveled, I made money as a businessman, and then I took and traveled. I'd never allow them to take an offering. When I came up here, the people didn't know what to do with their money. Brother George rebuked me, told me why, and he rebuked me strongly. So I've been rebuked by him more than once. He cast out more than one devil out of me. And that was that last one he had to get before he split, huh? Get that pride out of that boy, amen? And there was a lot to do with pride, yes, but let me tell you, it was motivated not by pride. It was motivated by me watching the failures of the religious world in their love of money and the greed. Amen. Dealing with a preacher and they're sending out evangelists. They're buying them motorhomes, paying for everything. One of the biggest mistakes ever made in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ain't what the Bible said. He said, go buy them a motorhome and send them out. It didn't say that. He said they don't even need to have script on him. He said they need to go by faith. When a man's out there by faith, he's talking to his God. When he's out there in your money and your finances, you're frolicking. Amen. You don't have no concern and no care. But when you go in faith, you say, Lord God, I want to make sure I'm on my face before you. And I'm listening to you and I'm preaching your word and I'm orchestrated by your Holy Ghost. And you're going to do those things because you know that you're there by faith. And you know that if you violate that faith, that you're going to find yourself lacking. And that makes a man right. It makes him clean and makes him straight, makes him walk upright. That's why we don't raise money to start churches. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Brother Morris Allen knew that Brother Pike could have handed me 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, whatever, when he sent me up here. He could have come up here and he could have bought lands. But I tell you what, I was on my face before God to pay a $600 bill for we can get the electricity turned on. And God made a way and moved. I called it a little miracle, amen, that prepared the heart of a person just to turn it on for me. Not the electricity, but the gas. You see, because we were here by faith, amen. He could have gave me money. Oh, Brother Rob, let me give you some money for you and get you a motel up there. I said, no, I come by faith, amen. And there were people here that would have shared and put me up in their home and done it. I'm not speaking to them, but I said, I'm going to go and do what the brother said. I come up and preach. I went back home. Amen. I went to work. I come up and preach. Went back home. Come up and preach and went back home until I relocated. Amen. But what I'm saying is he had the monies and the means and the finances to purchase properties, to purchase buildings. But he said, if this is of God and this man is a man of God and this is going to be of faith, he said, it's going to come forth by the birthing in faith. Amen. One more hand for the Lord as we stand to our feet. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's an honor to have Brother Morris with us today again, and Brother Trey and Sister Rebecca. This is our family. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And y'all love the Lord. I hope I challenged you in thought. If I didn't, you need to challenge yourself. If I, with my lack of abilities as an order, speaker, preacher, if I couldn't have challenged you this morning, then I tell you that you are under an obligation with God to challenge yourself to see if you be in the faith. Amen. Amen. I may not question your salvation, but I may question your path. And the thing is there is a wide, broad path that leads to destruction, and a man's ways are right in his own eyes, and the end of that matter leadeth to destruction. And the thing is, brethren, in our course with God, I testified of being delivered from religious devils. You know why they're hard to get delivered from? Because you could walk among the people and nobody thinks you got a devil. They think you're a man of God. Because the religious spirit manifests itself so counterfeit, so familiar and so similar to the real spirit of Christ that people don't even recognize it or see it unless they got discernment. I've seen some mighty orators and speakers. Man, they could preach like a ball of fire. Man, they get your attention. But there's something going on in my heart saying there's something wrong here. There's something not jiving with me. There's something not working here. And I don't know what it is. I don't have enough maybe discernment to put my finger on it. But many times I talk to my wife, Brother John, and say, babe, I said, there's something wrong going on here. And I'm not exactly what, but I'd be cautious. You see, that's why we have the Holy Ghost. When something checks your spirit, don't toss it away. Yield to it and watch it by the Spirit. And find out, say, God loves you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. If you're sincere and love Him, and when there's something going on in your heart, don't push that aside. Let me give you an example. Let's remove it from religion real quick here. You ever been out in town or something? Guy goes, oh, sir, man, I'm down on my luck a little bit. Please, sir, could you just help me with a little bit of money? Sure. You know, man, I'm diabetic. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, my heart would, man, you know, Brother Rob, I'll bring him home with me if I thought he was down and out and didn't have a place. And if he was really down on money, you know what I'd do. Sure. And, you know, that could be a true case, but most of the time it's a con.
Amen.
Come on now. Yep. People con their way through life. They're con men. You know, a guy come up, it might be a business deal. Hey, Brother Trey, listen, man, I got this business deal, son. I'll tell you what, man, look, go to your mom and dad and grandpa, and if you can come up with $15,000, brother, tonight, man, I'll turn it into $45,000 in 1 month. Anybody ever heard things like that? Yeah, I have. And you say, man, that sounds good, but there's something not jiving right here. I had a man call me up, and I'm trying to close, but a brother called me up, a brother in the Lord. Went to our church in Georgia, got involved in a big business deal. I was up here pastoring. This has been 16, 17 years ago. He called me, Brother Rob, listen, brother, I've ran in this diamond deal. I've done invested $110,000. But listen, brother, I don't care what means it's going to take. Man, I've done heard from heaven, and I didn't have peace about it. But he said, let me tell you something. Go to your people. Go to the brother, whatever. You come up with 10 grand. If I could get it in the mail before the 20th, a week or so away, whatever it was. It was a week away. I don't know if it was Zach 20th, but whatever. He said, I promise you, brother, it'll make you $100,000 within a year. Boy, doesn't that sound good? Woo-hoo! And this is where the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me at. Because this is what he said to me. And I knew even if it was a legitimate diamond deal, that that man cursed it right there with his words. This is what he said to Brother Rob. He said, Brother Rob, as soon as I make my first million, I'm going to go and start visiting churches. And I'm going to start preaching the gospel and taking the word of God forth. You see, he put business before calling.
Yep.
And when you do that, God is going to absolutely blow on it every single time. When you hear a man say, well, as soon as I get a new car, I'm going to evangelize. That man's on his way to hell. Thus saith the Lord. As soon as I get my house built, I'm going to get on the evangelistic circuit. That man is of the devil. Amen. He ain't seen God. He don't know God. And he needs to get delivered. Amen. Now, he might be an evangelist and he might be a man of God, but he hasn't met the calling yet. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. He hasn't met the choosing yet. You never put nothing. If God tells you to go today, Brother John, then you take off walking if you ain't got a car. Because we follow the voice of God. We don't reason it. We don't find excuses. Well, God, if you do this, I'll do it. Man, you are cursing yourself. If he tells you to do something, you do it. Amen. And you do it in the mind of God.
Amen.
But you better discern the voice. Because there's many voices and young ministers that will be speaking to them. And they'll be saying, you the man, John. Whew. You the man. You know, and I'll tell you what, you'll find out the Bible said you send out a novice. Why don't you do it? Because they'll be on their face. You got to get them girded up, raised up, anointed up, filled up, powered up. And you'll see the demonstration at home before you look for it in the field. You'll see the demonstration from the sacred desk. You'll see the demonstration in the yards out there. You'll see the demonstration on the job site. You'll see the demonstration talking with people in town. You'll see the anointing of God in the restaurant, the anointing of God in the job site. You'll see the anointing of God in the paintbrush in the hand, or a tile trowel in the hand, or a grout float in the hand. You'll see the anointing of God, and everything is about the Father's business. Everything is about winning souls. Amen. And when your life ain't all about winning souls, amen, then you're disviolated and not called whatsoever. You're called but not chosen, amen. You love the Lord? You better sing. I got a preaching thing on me, man. Y'all love the Lord? Come on now, do you love the Lord? Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel like I've been to church, Brother John.
Upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. That's what I want to do. I want to walk and never faint. Fill me with your power, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God. You see, a message this morning isn't looking for your location. Is it looking for you to be in Christian temple or in Grace temple or whatever? It's not that. That's not the message. The message is in Christ. Amen. Are you walking in the counsel of God? Are you walking in the affairs of God? Are you walking in the godliness of God? Have you leaned to your own reasoning and understanding and departed from doctrine of faith? Amen. Come on, saints of God. When I talk about departing the doctrine of faith, I don't talk about people going out the door. There's people that sit in my presence on a daily basis have departed the doctrines of faith. They've departed the doctrines of revelation, and they've run to their own household, leaving the house of the Lord, lay waste, running to their own ministry, their own gains, their own popularities, and their own things. This is something we got to watch for, my friends. We're pastors. We're called to bind and bring people together, amen, in the love of God.
They shall run.
The altars are open this morning. If you have need of prayer, amen.
Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Let's worship Him, saints of God.
That wait upon the Lord
Let's worship the Lord, saints. Come on, saints of God, worship Him. You come into these altars, you come in a spirit of worship, the spirit of expectation, amen. You come with a believing heart, amen. Don't come gloomy and heavy, comes with an expectation. If I could touch the hem of that garment, I could be healed, I could be delivered, I could be set free. My petition could be granted unto me, amen. If I could just get there and just touch that garment, amen. What is the hem of that garment? It's the anointing of the Lord God, amen. And it comes through the many-membered body and the counsel of God, amen. It's the anointed word that breaks the yoke. The anointed word, not the spoken word, brother. It's the anointed word. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. We've been for years, we can say words and words and words and words, but it's got to be the word with a demonstration and power. Amen. Brother Pike said you could do a lot of things, but you can't imitate the virtue of God. The virtue of God can't be imitated. You can imitate holiness and godliness. You can imitate the Holy Ghost. You can imitate the ability to be an orator. You could preach. You could dance. You could shout. You could draw people in. You could bring hundreds and thousands in. But you'll never imitate the anointing. Amen. The virtue. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an anointing that comes in the rain. But there's another one that comes from within, brother. Totally different. I'm telling you what, when it purges from the inside, it is totally different. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean to tell you, that's the one that purges out all of the impurities, all the dross. Amen. You ever seen a river when it went way down low in drought? All the trash and the debris and all the stuff starts plugging up around the sides. And you see all the wood and all the stuff. And then all of a sudden the big rains come. And man, the lakes start coming up. The rivers start coming up. And it comes up above the banks. And it washes everything clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us need that cleansing river of life. Amen. To start just flowing out of the innermost. And we start just worshiping and praising and magnifying God and shouting hallelujah and glory be to your name. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And you'll find all those impurities, all that dross and stuff, that fire of the Holy Ghost burning the dross out. Amen. We need to welcome the Holy Ghost fire, and we need to welcome the chastening of the Lord and say, purge me, Lord God. Burn these things out of my life. I want to be in your will. I want to be in your perfect will. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing All Praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Trey, would you honor us with dismissing the service this morning? Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.